Sheila Brummer for Siouxland Public Media. We are live at Long Lines Family Rec Center for a special broadcast at a community-driven event called My Life, My Choices. Every seventh grader from the Sioux City Community School District in Woodbury Central is here. That's 1,300 young people in all over 3 days. Every student takes part in a two-hour learning experience where they face real-life situations, decisions, and consequences. We're going to talk today about a wide range of issues teens face with local experts on a wide range of topics, everything from drug and alcohol use, teen pregnancy, mental health, and more. This is a very good broadcast for parents to learn more about what their teenagers and children face today. I'm going to start with the organizer, one of the organizers of the event, Leah Knapp, is here from Unity Point Health St. Luke's. Leah, this is quite an undertaking. You can hear the kids behind, you know, a lot of kids here learning about many different things.
Oh, yes, Sheila. We're excited to have them here. We've researched the data every year at the hospital. We look into all of our top health needs, and we've identified a lot of health issues that affect all of these teenagers.
What are the number one health issues do kids this age face?
I wouldn't say there's a number one. I would say there's probably a handful, anywhere from mental health, sexual health, tobacco, substance abuse, and maybe even just access to care.
That's true. And I know there are some statistics that are very shocking, especially when it comes to teenage pregnancy.
Oh, yes. Woodbury County is one of the we have one of the highest rates for teenage pregnancy in the state of Iowa. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time in the last few years trying to drive those numbers down. And we really have, but we are still the highest in the state of Iowa. So we want to continue to be driving those numbers down. And we don't want any of our teenagers to have a baby until they're mature and ready physically and mentally.
That's true. And you found that there was definitely a need to put together this event, a large event for a large amount of children.
Oh, absolutely. The schools have curriculum they need to get to, and this is not one of them. And we've tried health fairs in the past, and we get 120, 150 kids. And we decided as a community, we needed to collaborate more, work together. So we've got many agencies here today working collaboratively for the first ever Maze event to get the kids around and introduce them to some of these topics and how they can cope with them.
And basically each child, they get to be a certain character, right? And then they go through a maze and the characters have all different ranges of backgrounds, don't they?
Absolutely. Every character has a real life situation that they would be encountering. And so these kids are pretending to be that character and going around the maze and talking about the different issues that this character is facing and, you know, asking questions on how does that make you feel? What would you do if you were in the situation? And if you made a bad choice, how do you cope with that? How do you conquer that and come back, you know, strong and resilient and learn how to make the right choice next time?
And the kids, the reaction has been so positive. We actually had a chance to talk to some of the students, and Siouxland Public Media heard about some of the things that they thought about this event.
My name is Florinda, and this event is really cool because, like, they show us things that we've never seen yet or done. And the people here are really nice to us, and they make us feel, like, excited and stuff.
What kind of things are you learning today?
Like how to take care of a gunshot wound, what firefighters do in fires, and how to take care of, like, babies and stuff, and hygiene care.
My name is Ben Henry. I'm 13, and this event is cool because we get to learn a lot of stuff, and it's really cool because we get to put, like, our bodies involved with it instead of just sitting at school and the teacher's telling us.
And what kind of things are you doing, getting some hands-on experience about?
Like, there's this firefighter drill where you have to do all this firefighter work. It's like half when it's a half work thing when they have to try out for it. And there's other stuff back there. You get to vote if you want pizza for school and other stuff.
Oh yeah, the League of Women Voters, they actually have a voting booth. And so what was the vote again?
What kind of pizza you would want for school.
And what kind of pizza did you pick, Ben?
Sausage.
Sausage, is that your favorite?
Yeah.
As you just heard, there are some fun things for the students to do as well. If you have a teenager, you know, a lot of them are addicted to technology. They like to be online. They like to be on their phones. And that's where our next guest comes into play. Morgan Haskell is from Siouxland Mental Health, and she is here. She's been talking to the teenagers about the dangers of social media. Morgan, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And what kind of things are the kids learning about social media? What do parents need to know as well?
One thing we're talking to them about is making sure that when they're downloading apps that they read those terms of services and those privacy policies, because that is going to tell them what information they're taking from them and what information they can sell to third parties. A lot of kids don't know that they've been getting their information sold to other people. And one thing also I tell them is they have social media brought to them at such a young age that they're going to have that information about them for the rest of their lives, making sure that they have different passwords even for their social media accounts, so that way hackers aren't more prone to find them.
And do you find that kids are spending way too much time on their devices?
Yes.
I think that would be a yes.
Yes. I've talked to them about 5% of teens are addicted to social media, that it's a real thing. They're addicted to it. And a lot of them have actually admitted to checking their cell phone, waking up in the middle of the night to checking it. And that can, you know, play a negative impact not only on their physical health, but as well as their mental health. You know, they might fail the test the next day and their parents might get after them. And then everything's just going to have a ripple effect.
And I think parents kind of set the pace, don't they?
Yes.
Parents, I mean, sometimes, you know, you find yourself on the phone and that's what they see.
Limiting screen time. There's apps out there. I have two kids and I have apps out there that I only let them be on them for an hour a day. Make sure you're limiting their time, making sure that they're having face-to-face interaction with people. A lot of kids nowadays are just glued to those phones and not making real-life connections with people. You're not going to have sustainable relationships with people if you're constantly on the phone.
What should parents do?
Like I said, download those apps. Make sure that, you know, you're limiting the time. Do physical fun activities with them that don't involve their phones. Or if your kids want to be on those apps, do it as a family. Make it a family event. There's a lot of families out there that do have YouTube channels or make TikTok videos, things like that. Do it as a family then, because then you can monitor what they're doing and who's seeing it.
All right, Morgan Haskell from Siouxland Mental Health talking about the issues of social media and technology.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Morgan. I'm Sheila Brummer from Siouxland Public Media, KWIT, KOJI, broadcasting live from Long Lines along with local experts who are dealing with the well-being of young people. They're helping out with an event underway called My Life, My Choices. All seventh graders in the Sioux City Community School District and Woodbury Central from Mobile are here. And from what they're saying so far, they're having a good time and learning some real-life lessons.
My name is Jaden. I'm 13 and I go to West Middle. Got to learn about what it is like for like depression and like everything, like smoking, like it kills you. And good experience to learn about all the things that you should know when you're older and things not to do and things to do.
My name's Evelyn Rea and I am going to be 13 and I go to West Middle School, and I think this was a nice experience. It was really fun. The people are really nice. We learned a lot of things.
And what kind of things did you learn at this event?
What the cost of a baby is and the job of firefighters.
Yeah. So how much does it cost for a baby for a year?
$13,000 for like, yeah.
$13,000, wow.
You're listening to The Exchange. Support for The Exchange comes from Gregory Giles, Investment Advisory Representative with Legacy Financial, LLC in Sioux City, serving the financial planning and investment needs of clients since 2004. Information about Legacy Financial and Greg Giles is available at LegacyFinancialLLC.com. Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning and advisory services offered through RDA Financial Network.
And as you heard that teenager talking about pregnancy and the economic impact, $13,000 for a year to raise a baby. And that's a big impact on young people in our community. As you also heard earlier in the broadcast, the teenage pregnancy rate in Woodbury County is the highest in the state. And Tina Lasky is from Unity Point Health St. Luke's, and she's joining us now with more about this issue.
Thank you.
And what are you telling the kids today as they show up?
Today at the teen pregnancy table, we're
giving them a chance to experience what it's like to be pregnant. We put together a pregnancy belly or an empathy belly, and we put together weight. It's a 16-pound pregnancy belly that they have to carry with them for the rest of the health fair, and demonstrates the distribution of that pregnancy weight, including an 8-pound baby.
And so they kind of get that real life experience. And what are you finding statistically when it comes to teenage pregnancy in Woodbury County?
Well, I don't know about Woodbury County specifically, but nationally, one out of every four teen girls, will get pregnant under the age of 20. And out of that, teen pregnancies, 40% of those teen pregnancies are under the age of 17.
Wow. And also when it comes to sexuality, kids are younger.
Kids are experimenting more these days at a younger age. Their friends are doing it, so they're doing it, and it's pretty amazing to know how many teenagers are actually participating in that activity.
And at what age are you finding sexual activity in youngsters?
Anywhere between 10 and 12, sometimes is their first experience. I've seen deliveries at the age of 11 and 12, 13-year-olds.
Wow. And actually, we're going to bring in another guest as well. Brandy Steck is with Siouxland Community Health. And you're talking to the kids also about STDs. When it comes to sexuality, that's something that comes along with it as well, Brandy.
Yeah, definitely. So we talk about both the protection against sexually transmitted infections and preventing unintended teen pregnancy. In the state of Iowa in 2018, there were over 19,000 reported cases of gonorrhea and chlamydia, and of them, 22% were in people ages 15 to 18.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think there's an increase? Are we seeing, I guess, more of the disease, or maybe people are actually going to the doctor and talking to a healthcare provider about the issue?
I think it's a combination of both, actually. I think we're doing more events like this and educating people about the importance of testing. And I also think that more people are engaging in sexual activity at a younger age, and they have more partners.
And what can parents do if they're listening and they're thinking, wow, you know, you talked about, I know, Tina, you were talking about how young some of the teen mothers are. Some of them aren't even teenagers, technically. What can a parent do if they're listening and they're thinking, wow, you know, I have a child that age, and we haven't quite talked about that yet?
Yeah, I think all of the research, if you look at the research, shows that parental involvement is the number one indicator that an adolescent will wait longer before they engage in sexual activity, and they are more likely to use condoms and or birth control when they do engage in sexual activity. And one of the really amazing things I have found today and yesterday when we were here is we talked to the youth about who could you talk to if you have important questions about the topic of sex and sexuality. And a lot of them have said their parents. And 5 years ago, it was definitely not that way. They were like, oh, I could never talk to my parents about that. They would kill me. So we are very happy to find that a lot of the adolescents have said that, yes, I can talk to my mom or my dad or my step-parent about this. So I think parental involvement is extremely important.
And I think as parents, we have to not assume that our children at this age are not thinking about it or engaging in that activity. We think that they're too young at 12, 13. They're too young. They don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend, but in fact that's not the case. They're either thinking about it or perhaps have even started to engage in that activity.
And it's a lot different now than maybe when us as parents were dating. Kids don't date the same as they used to. They kind of hang out with this person for a while and then they hang out with that person for a while, and they are experimenting and they are engaging in sexual activity. And yeah, like she said, we can't assume that they're not.
And Brandy, also, you're also bringing awareness today, the 3-day event, about HIV as well, to the students.
Yeah, so we talk a lot about HIV in terms of it being a sexually transmitted infection and how you can protect yourself against acquiring HIV, and the difference between gonorrhea and chlamydia versus HIV. Gonorrhea and chlamydia are treatable and curable. HIV is definitely treatable. There's, you know, we've come leaps and bounds in terms of the medication available for people living with HIV, but HIV is still not treatable. If you have HIV, you will have it for the rest of your life. And we talk about the importance, if you are HIV positive, of taking your medication so that you can suppress your virus, so you can stay happy and healthy. And it also, U equals U. Undetectable viral load means it's untransmittable. So people living with HIV, if they're on their medication, have a 0% chance of passing that on to other people.
All right, Brandy and Tina, thank you so much for sharing
thank
your
you.
Knowledge with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Sheila Brummer from Siouxland Public Media. We're broadcasting live this afternoon from Longlines Rec Center in Sioux City, where hundreds of seventh graders are here over 3 days learning all about different life lessons. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you. My name is Marcus Silva. I go to West Middle. They do like, I'm a lot of hands-on. Like, they like put stuff around you to see like how like it feels about like vaping. They put like stuff around your stomach, so like it's hard to breathe a little bit. So then that's how you feel when like, when you feel like you're, when I'm your vaping.
And actually, you guys all play a different character, don't you? Can you tell me a little bit about your character?
My character is, I'm a new kid. He moved to Iowa, so he's trying to, you know, make friends a lot. So that's why he came here, I guess.
So you learned some of the difficulties that you kids face, huh?
Yeah.
Cleo, when I go to West, and the event is pretty dope.
And what was pretty dope about the event today?
Everything.
What kind of things did you learn?
Oh, I conquered my fear, first of all. I'm afraid of snakes, but not no more, you know?
Oh, yeah, the Sierra Club has a snake here, and so...
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
And you conquered that fear. Is there anything else you're afraid of now?
My mom! I'm still afraid of my mom.
Hey, that's probably a good fear.
You're listening to a special live broadcast of The Exchange on Sioux City, Siouxland Public Media. I'm Sheila Brummer. If you're a parent just tuning in, you can hear the whole show on our website, kwit.org. It'll be there later on this afternoon. Today we're learning about issues young teens face, the real-life problems and scenarios playing out at a special event over 3 days called My Life, My Choices. A whole team of local and regional experts here at Longline sharing experiences and knowledge on a wide variety of topics. They're touching on many different things. We talked about social media issues on the show, teen pregnancy, sexuality, STDs, HIV. And substance abuse also threatens the future of young teens attending this event. We have Rachel Lundgren from Siouxland Cares About Substance Abuse with us. We also have Steve Bigman from Siouxland District Health, and he's talking to the kids about vaping. Rachel and Steve, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And Rachel, what kind of threat do children have from alcohol abuse? Maybe they have parents, but also it's a threat for them even at a young age.
Yes, we'll definitely see young people abusing substances, especially alcohol and marijuana are some of the first ones we see, and that does often start even in middle school. So it's very important not to wait to high school to start talking about alcohol abuse with young people.
At what age should you start having that conversation, would you say?
I say that it should be in building conversation, even in early elementary school, just talking about how to take care of your body, what's safe to put in your body, how to be a healthy person, and that can continue to talk about alcohol. I have had kids in fourth, fifth grade ask lots of questions, so I think that's a really important age to be answering questions.
And Steve, we're hearing so much about vaping, about, you know, the health problems that can arise from vaping. How young are kids vaping?
It really kind of depends. It's we've seen some as young as like fourth, fifth grade that have actually been kind of starting this in the community as well too. So it is a concern that we are seeing some young students really getting access to these products early on then.
And I guess maybe parents, what should parents look out for?
It's really kind of looking for some of the signs that maybe they think or suspect that their student is maybe using. So maybe seeing if there are signs of like addiction to nicotine, things like that. So if they're maybe having like the headaches, some other symptoms of withdrawal, things like that. You know, it's never too early to have that conversation, just like Rachel said. If they're, you know, helping them with refusal skills or just talking to them and knowing that they support their choices then.
Do you know how many, what the percentage of young people, how many are vaping?
It's about at a 1 in 4 that we've been seeing in 11th grade students that have been using vaping and things like that.
Wow, 25%.
So, yeah, it is a concern that we're seeing that. So the hope is that we can really get those numbers down just with providing some of the education, and education to parents as well, too, is really helping inform them what these products look like, how, you know, maybe they can talk to their students about some of these things as well, too.
And it was supposed to be the alternative to cigarette smoking, and it's causing, you know, a younger generation to get hooked on nicotine products.
Right. Yeah. And what we've really found is just with having some of the conversations with students, where a lot of them weren't aware that nicotine was actually in them at first then. And now they've really just become addicted to them, and it's so hard for them to stop. We do know that smoking and quitting tobacco is one of the hardest things that you can do. There's a success rate of about 10% of people who are able to actually successfully quit. Imagine that it's even more difficult for young people who are developing, their brains are still continuing to grow, so it's very hard for them to stop once they start.
Rachel, do you have any statistics as far as alcohol use and drug use with teenagers?
Absolutely. The good news is, not just in this area, but nationally, numbers have been going in the right direction. When we do our action plan for Sulay and Cares, we look at our more recent data. We did, in 2019, have a survey of 3,500 6th through 11th grade students. And we did find for 11th graders who used alcohol in the past 30 days, it was 14% who'd reported that. And 50% of those students had reported that they did binge drink when they were drinking. So that's the most dangerous type of drinking. So even though it's not a majority of students, we do need to be concerned about how much alcohol those students who are drinking are consuming.
And what would they consider binge drinking?
So for a female, it'd be 4 or more drinks in a single setting. For a male, 5 or more. But that's for adults, and we have to consider, that these, are young people with their brains that are still developing and much smaller body sizes. So if they're drinking at that level in order to become intoxicated, it can be very serious.
And what kind of long-term effect can you have if you're a teenager who's maybe smoking marijuana or drinking?
So any substance abuse that you start maybe about freshman in high school increases your risk of developing a substance use disorder by 4 or 5 times. So if those students also have a genetic risk that could increase them by 4 times also, they could definitely develop a substance use disorder very quickly. Also, we see other developmental delays that can occur due to the changes in their brain from substance abuse.
Rachel, what would you suggest parents should do?
I think having open communication is one of the most important things. Sometimes parents don't know for sure if a child is abusing substances, because a lot of things like depression and anxiety can look like substance abuse. So having conversations just in general, as soon as you see anything change in your child, is extremely important.
And Steve, some of the students were telling me about the example that you've been sharing about vaping. They're going to you today with, you know, trying to figure out, hey, I want to learn more about what not to do about vaping, but you actually have hands-on things that you're doing with the children.
Yeah, so one of the things we have is actually simulating for cigarette smoking, but we have artificial pig lungs actually on there. So what that is actually just to show people who have been smoking for 20 years or more just kind of the damage that actually comes with the tobacco and smoking as well. We also have the vaping with it, and it just is showing, it's kind of a simulation of how it looks on mirrors, but just showing how like the residue will continue to stick to your lungs, and that we really don't have anything out there that like cleans lungs. So just showing that how this residue can really stick to your lungs, and it's very, very difficult for it to actually come off then.
And that's some of the national news that we've been hearing about young people who are having lung failure, pulmonary failure, because of these products. And they're maybe not regulated like they should be, and you really don't know what you're inhaling sometimes.
Right. Yeah, and it was very interesting to see how, you know, it took us a very long time to figure out what the health effects were from smoking. You know, it took us almost over 40, 50 years just to figure out what the health effects that are coming with it. But it is concerning that we're seeing some of the injuries and some of the problems that we're seeing with vaping just so early, and the products really haven't been out there for very long. So it is a concern that we're seeing that these injuries are happening. But hopefully with like the education and just sharing some of this information, we can really help keep people informed then.
And at one time, cigarette smoking was considered healthy.
Right.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, doctors were actually supporting it and advocating and really recommending what kind of cigarettes that people should be buying. So it is kind of interesting whenever we talk with some of the students in school. We like to always say there was about 50% of people at one time who were smoking. So, you know, one in two people would smoke back in the day then. So, which is very interesting. They're kind of like shocked and awed and saying like, no, why would you ever smoke? And, you know, yeah, it's interesting how things have changed, you know.
Well, my grandmother, I think she told me she was 13 years old when she started smoking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that was very common, too, to see something like that, too. So, but it's very, like, great, and it's a very positive thing to hear how students really have that negative thought towards, you know, the smoking, because they don't really want to do the damage. They don't really want to start that. But they don't have that same feeling towards, like, vaping. So that is kind of the concern with it. But hopefully with just reaching out and talking with the students, we can really just share some of the health effects and really just help them to not be smoking them.
All right. And even at one time, you know, if you were pregnant and you were a mother in the, you know, before the 70s, it was okay to even drink when you were pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen that actually continued to a certain extent in social media, even now that people still have questions about drinking and pregnancy. So we have been making sure people understand too that we're not sure, there's not enough information at what point in pregnancy alcohol would ever be okay. So we encourage all mothers to not drink at all during their pregnancy.
Well, this has been very informative. Thank you so much, Rachel Lundgren from Siouxland Cares about substance abuse. And also we have Steve Beekman. Thank you so much. He's with Siouxland District Health, talking about vaping. I'm Sheila Brummer. We are broadcasting live at Long Lines. It is an event called Live My Life, My Choices, and it's a three-day event with seventh graders in the Sioux City Community School District talking about all different kinds of issues. We talked about mental health issues, or we will. We also talked about social media, substance abuse, vaping, and we'll have more guests join us throughout the afternoon as well. We want to say a special thanks to our guests this afternoon, including our new guest just joining us, Unity Point Health St. Luke's, Kristen Beal. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah.
And you're here to kind of talk about something very basic that is so important when it comes to health, and it's all part of our hygiene.
Correct. Yep. Hand hygiene. So I'm the infection preventionist and patient safety officer at Unity Point. So hand hygiene is forefront in what I do every day to ensure that our patients are healthy, but that crosses over into our teen youth as well. So.
And especially this time of year, this is the flu season,
and
people are cooped up, and the conditions are just ripe for those viruses to spread.
They are. So we saw a big spike over the holidays, lots of respiratory stuff from RSV to influenza, rhinovirus, which is your common cold, through the holidays when all of the families were getting together. We saw a big spike in that. In the last few weeks, we've actually seen a little bit of a dip, but it is starting to pick up a little bit again. So hand hygiene is incredibly important, as well as that cough etiquette.
And it's interesting because when the teens come up to your booth, you actually do a little experiment. You talk to them, but you introduce yourself, you shake their hand,
yes.
And then can you kind of play out the rest of the scenario that they're learning?
Yeah, so I actually have a bioluminescent powder that I put on my hands, and when the kids come up and I introduce myself, I shake their hands, and unbeknownst to them that I have the powder on my hands. And then we go through and we talk about the proper way to wash your hands, singing happy birthday two times to ensure that with soap and water you're washing long enough, because most people don't. And then the sanitizer, rubbing until your hands are completely dry. After that, I have them watch a couple of videos. One is sneezes in slow motion, because people don't realize when you're coughing or you're sneezing that those droplets spray up to 6 feet, which is, you know, one of the ways we transmit influenza and RSV and the common cold and any of those respiratory illnesses. So it kind of gives them that visual of, if you're not covering your mouth properly, this is what happens. But, you know, sneezes can have 75 miles per hour transmission of droplets, and so it's fast enough in real life that you don't notice that, but when you see it in slow motion against a black backdrop, it kind of has that U factor that really grasps the kids' attention. After that, we show them a video from a Mythbusters episode that shows them contaminating a party with one person with a runny nose, and what that looks like and how far
far those germs can spread. And then at the end of that, we put the black light on their hands and tell them, you know, when you came up, what happened? And they said, oh my gosh, I shook your hand.
But, yeah, they look at their
yep.
hands.
And so once they look at that and they get completely grossed out, we're having them wipe their hands down, and then we give them a sanitizer to take with them, talk about in the classrooms and at home the importance of getting their hands washed and being diligent on that hand hygiene to prevent themselves and others from getting sick.
I'm also going to ask you a question. I know on social media we're seeing so much about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And is it something that we should worry about here in Siouxland?
So right now the risk is really low. From a community standpoint, from clinics to urgent cares to hospitals, we all have all of our preparedness techniques and everything ready to go. So we're ready for it if it should come into our community. The risk of that is incredibly low right now. The CDC and Iowa Department of Public Health are working collaboratively to make sure that we keep the virus out of Iowa. We don't have any confirmed cases in Iowa right now. Only 13 cases in the United States as a whole. Here in the United States, the risk is incredibly low. You're still a lot more likely to come down with influenza, and there have been many more deaths related to influenza. So that's really our focus, and with it being in our foreground of preparation and having our plans in place.
So that's the big thing, is the prevention, the hand washing. And how about like either using sanitizer? Is it still best just to have soap and water? Or
if you have access to soap and water, that's ideal, as long as you're doing it properly. What we find is people usually wash for about 5 seconds, which is inadequate. You need to do that happy birthday 2 times in your head. So if you have sanitizer available and you're not able to wash your hands adequately with soap and water, then absolutely sanitizer is incredibly effective as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kristen Beal. Thank you. Kristen is with Unity Point Health St. Luke's. Thanks for spending time with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to take a little bit more serious turn here. Our next guest is with the Siouxland Coalition for Human Trafficking, and Michelle Anderson is with us today. Michelle, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Michelle, do you see human trafficking is here? It is right here in Siouxland, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And how big of a threat do you think it is for parents, if they're listening? What do they need to tell their young children, or what would you tell parents?
Well, I would make sure that they have their locations off on their phones and just be aware of who they're talking to when they're on social media, making sure what they're posting, their location services on their phones, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok is really important, because that is the number one app right now that predators are looking at.
Also, do you have any idea of the amount of people, young people, who are being trafficked here in Siouxland? I know it's so hard because there's a lot of people that law enforcement, you know, they haven't discovered yet.
Well, it's an unreported crime. So we don't have a lot of numbers, because nobody wants to come forward and say, hey, I've been trafficked. It's we're looking at it in a different way now. I used to work in a different field, and we looked at it as abuse. And so trafficking is not that person in the van that's, you know, running around the corner, grabbing people and throwing them and taking them away. It's someone that you know. It could be a family member. It could be a boyfriend, girlfriend. It could be the best friend. It could be an aunt, an uncle. It could be a neighbor. So it's not somebody that you don't know.
And you were telling the students, even teachers.
Yeah, it could be teachers.
Have been arrested.
Yes, it could be a pastor. It could be the soccer coach. It could be that clerk at a grocery store. It could be anybody. It's not just that unknown person. Usually it's someone that's in your life that you know.
And you were telling me before the show, you got involved because you had worked a different job, and you actually had been helping children you thought were abused, but you at the time didn't realize it was trafficking.
Right. I worked in the school district, and we would report to DHS because I thought that it was just your normal child, and I hate to say normal, but you thought it was child abuse. And then when I got into the other agency, and it was sexual assault, and then you would find out that it was trafficking. It was their mothers and their aunts that were trafficking them and selling them for food and for to pay the bills, and for and not just for the sex, but it was just for survival.
And why do you think the problem keeps growing? Do you think it's because there's a demand? Is what I would guess.
It's the demand, yes. And once we take a look at that problem and we look at the people that are buying, I think that's the real issue. It's the buyers.
What would you tell parents? What should they look out for?
I think that, you know, with the issue of social media and the access to computers, and everybody wants to have that instant gratification. And so we really have to look at everything that's around us. And I know it's hard when you have to have a two-income household. Just if you're going to ask your kid, your children, you know, I need to see your social media, I need to see your computers, you have to be that open with your children as well. I have a son, and I wouldn't ask him, let me see your passwords. I would do the same thing with him. And I, you know, when I talk to kids, they're like, I don't have to show my parents my phone. And I'm like, I look at them like, who pays the bill? Because I know you're not paying the bill. So, and I just think that you have to have, you can't be your child's friend. You need to be a parent too.
All right. Well, Michelle, thank you so much. Michelle Anderson from the Sea Lion Coalition for Human Trafficking.
Thanks
for talking to us today.